She accessed her comm implant.
Owen, report in. Are you all right? Owen? Owen!
The ghost warrior made from Kathy's remains lurched towards Owen, sword at the ready, and he didn't think he'd ever been so angry in his life. He wasn't worried. For someone who'd once gone one-on-one with a Grendel, a lone ghost warrior with a sword wasn't much of a threat. Her weapon lashed out at him, and he parried it effortlessly. He was so angry now he could barely contain himself. To have desecrated the grave of the first woman he'd ever felt anything for, just for a sick joke? For another way to hurt him? Owen clutched his sword hilt till his hand ached. He didn't want to have to kill Kathy again. It had been hard enough the first time. But he couldn't let this mockery of an old love go on. It had to be stopped, if only so he could go after Valentine and tear him apart with his bare hands. And then, the dead mouth opened, and an approximation of Kathy's voice came out. It wasn't the body speaking. The vocal cords would have rotted away by now. It was just a recording, probably Valentine using a voice synthesizer. It couldn't be Kathy.
Don't hurt me, Owen.
The dead woman's torn black lips tried to keep up with the words.
Please, I don't want to die again. I know I'm not what I used to be, but it's still me. Kathy, your mistress. Valentine brought me back from the dead and trapped me in this rotting body. He can do things like that now. He has new friends, powerful allies. You'd be amazed what he can do now. Please, Owen.
Shut up.
All right, then. Let me kill you, and we can be dead together, lying side by side in the warm earth forever. Do it for me, Owen.
You don't sound a bit like her.
Owen stopped backing away. The corpse struck at him with servomotor-driven muscles, but his blade held firm, and he deflected the blow easily.
You don't sound at all like my Kathy.
Being dead changes you.
Not this much. Kathy never pleaded for anything. So you're not Kathy. Just another damned weapon aimed at me by my enemies. Damn you to hell, Valentine.
And he lashed out with his mind, the power boiling up within him, focused by fury and outrage. And Kathy's body blew apart into tiny pieces of rotten flesh and shattered tech.
Owen, report in. Are you all right? Owen? Owen!
I'm fine, but Valentine's escaped. We'll have to search the castle for him. Lock up the two lords and come and join me in the security center.
The lords are dead. They tried to escape.
Are you all right, Hazel?
Of course, I'm fine. I'll be with you soon.
Owen looked down at the human remains scattered across the floor and told himself he felt nothing at all. Together, Owen and Hazel searched the standing floor by floor, room by room. It took some time. The security system should have been able to locate Valentine, but he'd programmed it to ignore him. The wolf always planned his moves well in advance. They covered the whole of the ancient castle and did not find him, nor any trace of his people. Valentine Wolf had left the building. Hazel was quietly very impressed with Owen's standing. The rooms and halls were filled with more tributes, treasures, and general high-quality loot than she'd ever thought to see in her lifetime. Her eyes only stopped widening when they started to hurt. Hazel began to think she could make herself very happy for the rest of her life with just the contents of one room. Hell, there was enough bounty in this place to keep even Ruby Journey happy. But Owen just glanced at it in passing, dismissing the familiar sights and his need to get his hands on his enemy. They finally ended up in Owen's old bedchamber. The secret passage was still standing open, but Hazel talked Owen out of going back down to the Flyer Caves. It had been clear to her for some time that the wolf had made his escape from the castle, and probably from Viramond, but she let Owen go on searching. She could see he needed to. They stood together in the bedchamber and looked about them, wondering what to do next. Hazel sat down on the edge of the bed, legs swinging, and smiled widely as she sank slowly into the deep mattress.
This is some place you got here, Deathstalker. Did this really all belong to you?
When I was Lord, this whole planet belonged to me, and everything on it. Now Viramond and its people are dead, and I'd give up this castle and all that's in it to have them back again. They've taken my past away from me, Hazel. The life I had and hoped to have again someday is gone forever. All I have left is a standing I never really cared for, and a few memories.
I'll bet you have some good memories from this room, at least.
Some. I had a mistress called Kathy when I was Lord. We were happy here.
And what happened to this Kathy?
She turned out to be an Imperial spy. Tried to kill me when I was outlawed. I had to kill her.
You killed your own mistress? Damn, that's cold, Deathstalker.
Owen stared at the hollow portrait before him, showing the original Deathstalker, founder of his clan.
I killed him, too, and he was my most revered ancestor. Seems to me I've been responsible for too many deaths in my life, and far too many of them were people I cared for. Maybe you should find yourself a new partner.
You never killed anyone. You didn't have to.
I betrayed my inheritance when I killed Giles. I betrayed my name and my family honor.
No, he did that when he forgot what he was fighting for. He was Warrior Prime in his day, Defender of Humanity. When he decided he wanted to be ruler instead of Defender, he betrayed us all.
He really was a legend. An authentic hero. He actually did do most of the things the stories say he did.
Yeah, including the creating and wielding of the Dark Void device. 1,000 suns snuffed out in a moment, and no one knows how many billions dead. The greatest mass murderer in history.
I really can't go home again, be a scholar again, have my old life back.
You couldn't have anyway. You've changed too much, and mostly for the better.
Owen raised an eyebrow.
Only mostly?
Gosh, Sir Aristo, could you teach me to arch one eyebrow like that?
Go to hell, peasant.
Owen, have you been manifesting any new abilities just recently?
Not that I've noticed. Why do you ask?
Well, I was wondering if you'd learned how to call up alternative versions of yourself like I do.
Hell no. I definitely have noticed something like that. That is one spooky ability as far as I'm concerned.
Trust me, I know exactly how you feel. I still haven't a clue how that particular ability works. I need them, and there they are, suddenly and violently and all over the place. One of these days, I'm going to see if I can get one of them to hang around long enough for me to ask a few pointed questions.
Do that. I'd love to hear the answers, I think. In fact,
Now what?
Valentine. He said he'd left a surprise for me, hidden deep in the standing.
Oh, hell, you mean we have to search the whole damn castle again?
I think we'd better. Valentine's little surprises are always unpleasant and tend towards the dramatic.
Owen, I need to talk to you right now.
Not now, Oz. We're busy.
Well, you won't be soon if you don't pay attention. I found something in your security computers. It appears to be a countdown.
A countdown? Towards what?
That's the problem. I can't find out. Whatever the program is, Valentine's locked it away behind a whole series of passwords that I'm having his own trouble cracking. I'm currently scanning the entire castle trying to find anything anomalous. Something Valentine might have added that isn't connected to his drug production. Oh, shit.
You've got that we're in real trouble look on your face again. What's happening?
Oz says he's found a countdown. And then he said, oh, shit.
Ah, then we are in real trouble.
Oz, could you please expand on oh, shit?
There's a bomb planted deep under the standing. And it's a really nasty one. Big enough to blow the entire castle and everything in it to a bunch of free-floating atoms. And leave a glowing crater large enough to park a small moon in.
That sounds like Valentine. Vindictive to the last. If he can't play with the toys, no one can. Any chance you can defuse it?
Oh, shit.
Your expression just changed again.
Unfortunately, in discovering the bomb and attempting to defuse it, I seem to have triggered another problem.
All over the room, hidden bolts slammed into place, sealing it off from the rest of the castle and the outside world. Hazel looked wildly about her, gun and sword in hand again.
Owen, talk to me. What the hell is going on here?
Valentine's accessed the last-ditch security programs designed to protect the castle's occupants in times of emergency and tied it into any attempt to defuse the bomb. And since Valentine has undoubtedly changed all the passwords, it's a fairly safe bet we have no way of getting the computers to unseal this room before a very large bomb goes off and makes the whole problem redundant.
Bomb? What bomb? No one said anything about a bomb.
Oz did. Remember the countdown?
Hell with passwords. I'll get us out of here.
She aimed her disruptor at the nearest shuttered window and fired before Owen could stop her. He grabbed her and pulled her protesting to the floor just as the searing energy beam ricocheted back from the unharmed shutter and passed right through the air where they'd been standing. Owen and Hazel cautiously raised their heads. The room was full of the stench of ionized air. Owen looked at Hazel.
Please don't do that again. There are shutters everywhere now, even inside the walls. Specially reinforced to stand up energy weapons, which I would have told you if you just waited a damn minute.
Don't you raise your voice to me, Deathstalker. This is your castle. Get us out of here. Do something.
Owen considered panicking, but decided he didn't have time.
Oz, how much time left on the countdown?
2 minutes, 7 seconds and counting.
Oh, shit.
I already said that. It didn't help.
What? What? What?
How invulnerable are you feeling right now?
That bad, huh?
Worse. We've got 2 minutes before the bomb blows us off this world and into the next, and we can't even get out of this room. Unless you've learned Giles' trick of teleporting.
No. He never did get around to explaining how he did that before you killed him.
Oh, right. Blame me. Maybe if we all just talked to each other a little more.
They stopped and looked at each other, and a strange calm settled over them.
This is it, isn't it? End of the line. But I never thought I'd go out like this. So helpless.
Owen put an arm around her shoulders, and she leaned against him.
Hell, we've been living on borrowed time since we first met. It had to run out eventually. And I'm glad we had our time together. In a strange kind of way, I don't think I've ever been happier.
Yeah. It has been one hell of a ride, hasn't it? You're a good sort, Owen. I enjoyed our time together, too. And if we have to go out, at least we're going together.
They sat down on the edge of the bed, side by side. They kissed once, as though they had all the time in the world, and then just leaned companionably together.
Who knows? We stood off a point-blank blast from a disruptor cannon back on Mistworld, remember? Maybe we'll get lucky again.
Owen suddenly sat upright.
Hold everything. Follow that thought. We stood off that disruptor blast because we were linked together. Because our minds were joined together. That's how we survived.
I never liked linking. I don't like letting anyone else into my mind.
You don't like letting anyone else into your life. Hazel, this is no time to be modest.
Damn. All right, let's do it.
She reached out a hand, and Owen took it in his human hand. Their minds reached hesitantly out to each other, following the old mental link that held all the surviving alumni of the Madness Maze together. They drew closer and closer, until the power building between them slammed their minds into one unified will and became something else, something more, something that pulled them right out of their bodies and up into the air above, where they glowed as brightly as the sun. They flashed through all the floors and rooms of the standing in a moment, immaterial spirits, until they came at last to the computers Valentine had installed in the room adjoining the security center. They hovered over the machines, held back for a moment by a strangeness they couldn't name, and then they concentrated and heard the machines thinking. It was both simple and very complex, a multitude of small but vital decisions flashing past faster than any merely human mind could hope to follow. But Owen and Hazel had come a long way from human now, and it took them less than a second to sink into the computer systems and pull out the data needed to stop the countdown. The program interrupted, the bomb reset itself, and waited for new instructions. Owen and Hazel ran swiftly through all the computer's memories, just to make sure Valentine hadn't left any other unpleasant surprises, and then they pulled free. The driving need that had bonded them together ran out, and they vanished from the computer room, separated, and fell back into their bodies again. They looked dazedly around them, getting used to breathing again, as the shutters disappeared and the room unlocked itself.
Wow. That was something else.
It's what I've always said. We do our best work together.
Maybe. Let's get out of here, Owen. There's too much death in this place.
And Valentine got away. But I will find him. And for what he's done to my home and my world and my people, I'll make a whole new hell to send him to.
Deathstalker Honor, Charnel House, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2005, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, with Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Christopher Walker, and Mort Shelby. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Graphic audio sound design by Dan Smith. Additional original music by Dan Smith. The Deathstalker theme was composed by Norman Vanderslice. If you enjoyed Deathstalker, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at Roadstops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.cuttingaudio.com, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free screensavers, ringtones, and games. Keep listening for special previews after these announcements. Next time in Deathstalker Honor. Daniel Wolfe, the youngest son of a nefarious clan of the old Empire, made his escape just before the Empire fell. On a stolen ship, he watched reports come in of the end of the world he once knew. But Daniel's only concern is to find the mysterious homeworld of the dreaded artificial intelligences known as Shub.
We are really getting awfully close to where Shub is supposed to be. It's not at all too late to turn around and get out of there fast.
We go on.
You really don't know anything about Shub, do you?
For most, it would be considered suicide, but for Daniel, it is a rescue mission. He believes Shub has his father Jacob in its clutches, or what's left of him. But there is much more that Daniel will learn when he comes face to face with the enemies of humanity.
I've come so far. There are things I need to tell you.
Later. For now, there are things you must see. The AIs require it.
Meanwhile, on the planet Golgotha, Owen Deathstalker enters into a bargain with a member of Daniel's family.
You see, Owen, we have a lot in common after all. That's why I want you to marry me.
And it will change forever the Deathstalker's life. Deathstalker Honor, Episode 2, The Enemies of Humanity.
Deathstalker Honor, Episode 2, The Enemies of Humanity, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting January 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Deathlands Number 7, Dectra Chain. A mysterious stranger with important knowledge narrowly escapes Ryan's band before they can question him.
Damn, he's getting away! Who the hell was he?
I don't know, but I sure as hell would have liked to find out.
My dear Ryan, do you not realize what this discovery means?
Sure, Doc. It means someone apart from us seven knows how to use a gateway.
And before they can comprehend this new twist, the redoubt they're in is under siege by an unrelenting enemy. Water.
Dark night, this redoubt must be underwater. The place is flooding. If we don't get out of here, we're goners.
Soon the group find themselves in the remains of New England, where life has regressed to the days of whaling ships, danger on the high seas, and the use of brutal press gangs to fill out a ship's crew.
There's those as might say that to sail with Pyrrha Quad is to earn thy pay with the skin off thy back, and maybe with thy mortal soul as well. I just say it's best to keep well to windward of Captain Quad, if thou catchest my drift.
Separated from his companions, Ryan finds himself shanghaied and set to work under the sadistic female captain, Pyrrha Quad.
You stinking murderous slut!
I stink because I don't bother washing. I murder because it gives me power and pleasure. And the other... that thou canst find out when I need to use thee.
Never!
Oh, you'll soon learn. I have the power, the total power on this ship, Ryan Corder.
Ah! Deathlands Number 7, Dectra Chain. 7 unabridged hours in graphic audio. The movie in your mind.
Deathlands Number 7, Dectra Chain, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting February 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
What would you do if you found yourself in the Deathlands? Would you join the madness or die in its wake?
My baby! My baby!
Rick Ginsburg suffered from Lou Gehrig's disease and was cryogenically frozen until a cure could be found. Then came Skydark. Now, Some 100 years later, he's awakened by Ryan Carter and his companions.
Who are you people?
Who are you, Freezy?
In the barbaric Deathlands, where mutated humans eat human flesh, can a man of our time survive? In a mad cultville like Snakefish, where the people worship snakes and call for human sacrifice, can Deathlands warrior Ryan Carter keep Rick Ginsburg alive?
Show us the evil! Show us! The worm protects us all!
God! Why can't I just go back?
What would you do? Would you let the madness overwhelm you? Or would you become mad yourself in order to survive?
Ryan, look out!
Huh? Thanks, Rick.
You were wrong, Ryan, about killing being hard. It's too damned easy.
Deathlands number 8, Ice and Fire.
Deathlands number 8, Ice and Fire, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting February 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Bayou Lafourche, Louisiana. Swamp country is full of many perils for the unwary. Gators, snapping turtles, rattlers, and cottonmouth moccasins. But the bayou hides even deadlier predators.
Take cover!
Mac Bolan and his brother Johnny team up to infiltrate and destroy a Merc training camp deep in the bayou. But the mission turns out to be more than they bargained for.
Can't outrun them. We have to fight.
They'll run circles around us in airboats. We don't have a chance.
Would you rather surrender?
Hell no.
Keely Ross, federal agent rescued from the training camp by the Bolan brothers, joins them in their battle against not just mercenaries, but an old foe as well, the mob.
We got a situation in Louisiana. We need to find out who's behind this thing and take them out before they do more damage, yes?
Right away, boss. No sweat.
Mac, Johnny, and Keely are pulled into a conspiracy of international proportions in The Executioner Number 308, Into the Fire, part one of the Ord Crime Trilogy. Coming in February.
The Executioner Number 308, Into the Fire, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting February 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
Don't waste time searching the stores for the next installment of your favorite series or stories you've missed. Call 1-800-670-5220 and order direct in CD, cassette, or MP3 CD formats. Or plug into Graphic Audio's website, where you can order it in those... computer or digital player. It'll be online before anywhere else. You'll also get free screensavers, ringtones, games, and other goodies. www.cuttingaudio.com and 1-800-670-5220.